today on Anchored in the Word.
It's a conscious choice that you make to bow down to someone. It's more than just taking a number on you. Those are connected, though. They're connected. They made a decision to follow the beast, to not worship God. Maybe that, in their mind, that was the easier way. They didn't have to face death. Who knows what they were thinking, why they made the decision. Can we ever know why people make decisions, right? We can't, you know, but the idea is they made it. They made that choice.
But I'm anchored deep in your clean love. I'm anchored deep in who you are. I'm anchored deep in holy word. I'm anchored deep in you, my Lord.
This is Anchored in the Word, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Coastlands in Eatontown, New Jersey, with our pastor and teacher, Bill Beckelman. We're given free will to make decisions in our lives, and today Pastor Bill encourages us to make good choices regarding our spiritual life. In the final days, wrath will be poured out upon the earth, but we're given the choice to be exempt from the pain. If we choose to follow Christ, we will be saved from the trouble of those days. At the close of Pastor Bill's message, I'll be sharing with you how you can get a copy of today's broadcast of Anchored in the Word. Subscribe to the podcast or simply get in touch with us. Now, here's Pastor Bill with today's message.
So if you'd open your Bibles with me to Revelation chapter 16 this morning, we are looking at something that is yet future, a time that's coming to the planet. We don't know the day or the hour. The Lord Jesus said, you should know the seasons. He says, you look at the sky and you can discern the weather, you know. Red sky at night, sailors delight, right? Red sky at morning, sailors take warning. You know that one? That's biblical. That comes out of the Bible. So the idea of the discerning the weather from the sky, you can do that, but you can't discern the times, what's going on in front of you. We're too caught up in the ways, the things of the world. But Revelation chapter 16 is talking about a time that there's a seven-year period coming on the earth. It's called the tribulation period. That word means trouble. And we're talking about unprecedented trouble on the earth in that period of time. And right where we are now in chapter 16, we're right at the end of that seven-year period, almost to the very end of the period. And what's happening in that seven-year period on earth is that the Almighty God of the universe is pouring out his wrath. He's judging creation. And 16, what we're going to look at, we're going to look at the results of choices that people have made, decisions that they've made through time, and now they're going to bear the consequences of those decisions. That's always the truth about decisions. We have been given as God's people, or as humans, we've been given the ability to choose. I can't imagine how many decisions you made just today to get you right where you are. Some of them we can think about what you're going to wear, right? You think about that. Maybe you had something to eat this morning. You know, you made decisions where your car keys were. I mean, just the minute you wake up, when your eyes open, you make a decision on what your next move is. You have to do something. I'm going to lay here. I'm tired. I don't feel like getting up. I'm going to roll over right now. I'm going to hit that snooze button again or whatever. You know, that's a decision, right? I'm not ready to get out of bed. That's a decision. So it starts when we first wake up in the morning. We start these decision-making processes. Obviously, some of them are more important than others. But what we're looking at here in chapter 16 are people's decisions coming, you know, getting to a place where they're, now the Bible says you will reap what you sow. The decisions that you make will have a consequence, good or bad. And by and large, what we see here is some bad consequences being poured out. But that's not the end. Chapter 16, it's not like there's no more decisions to be made. What's interesting to me is that they're still making bad decisions, even as things are coming to bear and they're seeing the consequence of the decisions they've made up until that point, and they can still make good decisions, but they still choose to make bad decisions. But decisions are very important. Now, the Lord wants us to make godly decisions, righteous decisions. What we're also seeing in chapter 16 is the wrath of Almighty God being poured out. And this is the thing that we know about the Lord. And it's going to be mentioned in here by one of the angels, reminding us that everything that he does is right. See, he's not even capable of doing wrong. In other words, God has never made a bad decision. And he's been around a long time. He never had a beginning. So that's a long time. A lot of, you know, he's never made a bad decision. Every decision that he makes is right. He's just, because he's righteous. But as we look at chapter 16, what we're going to see is getting to the end of a life lived by making wrong decisions. Decisions that fly in the face of the will of God. And I believe you have to work pretty hard to get to this place. Romans 1 talks about it, what it looks like, the downward spiral of man. You've got to suppress the truth. That's what it says in Romans 1. To really, you're fighting against God. There's a suppression of the truth. You've got to, and the idea is you're holding it down. You've got to hold the truth down. You've got to work hard not to see the truth. So let's pick it up in verse 1. It says, then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, go and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God on the earth. Now, in the seven-year period, we've had the seal judgment, you could say, at the very beginning. Then we had the seven seals at the beginning. Then we had the seven trumpets, remember that? And now we've got the seven vials. And this will end the pouring out of God's wrath on the planet. But this is called the seven bowl judgment. Some of your Bibles, the translation may be vials. I don't know, when you think of a vial, don't you think of something with a cork in it or something maybe? But this is more like something more like a bowl, like we would experience what we know as a bowl. But these are the bowl judgments. And the first thing that we can see in verse 1 is that there was a loud voice, there were seven angels involved, and they've gotten permission. It's time now. And the voice says, go and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God on the earth. And of course, angels, now not every angel that's ever been existed, because we believe that Satan actually is a fallen angel. But these particular angels, making good decisions, following the Lord, that they were told what to do. And it says there in verse 2 that they went. So the first went and poured out his bowl upon the earth. Note there that this bowl, the first one, is being poured out upon the earth. And the result, and a foul and loathsome sore came upon the men who had the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. And this is a severe and malignant sore. This is not something that just was not nice to look at. It was painful. It was damaging. And it was a result of this angel pouring out God's wrath on the earth, it says. And keep in mind, this was the long-term effect of the people, it says. Look at the second part of that verse 2. It says, it came upon the men who had the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. Remember that. Back as we look back earlier in Revelation. There was a time when the people in that Revelation period, some of them came to Christ, and they were martyred for their faith. They were killed, beheaded, we believe. There's just a lot of bloodshed, but there were people we know that came to Christ, they were coming to Christ during this period. But these particular people that get the sores, they made the choice to take the mark and to worship the image, to bow down to something else, to someone else besides the Lord God Almighty. They made a conscious decision to do that. You see, the mark of the beast isn't just something that you, it just happens to you. You know, people, I know they get kind of, they start looking and analyzing things. Oh, I can't take a credit card with a chip in it because that might be the beginning of the mark of the beast. Well, I got news for you. You know, ATM cards, credit cards, really soon, the law went into effect in October, I think, they're all going to have that in it. So you got to decide you're not going to have a credit card or an ATM card or anything like that. That's all going to, that's the technology. But that's not the issue. It's a conscious choice that you make to bow down to someone. It's more than just taking a number on you. Those are connected, though. They're connected. They made a decision to follow the beast, to not worship God. Maybe that, in their mind, that was the easier way. They didn't have to face death. Who knows what they were thinking, why they made the decision? Can we ever know why people make decisions, right? We can't, you know, but the idea is they made it. They made that choice. And as a result of that, they're facing the judgment. Now, so they had the sore, and that was from the first vial being poured out. Not wiped off the planet, not dead, just had a malignant sore. Something to remind them of the choice that they made, perhaps. Verse 3 says, then the second angel poured out his bowl on the sea. So we got the first bowl was poured out upon the earth. The second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it became blood as of a dead man, and every living creature in the sea died. Every living creature in the sea died. Now, this isn't unprecedented where water turns into blood, right? I'm talking about in the Bible, we have in the book of Exodus, we have Moses when God, through the plagues, turned the Nile into blood. It was a miracle. And it was something that was done by God to get someone's attention, right? To bring them, talking about Pharaoh, to bring them into a place where they were lining up with God's will. What was God's will at that time? God's will was, let my people go. Let my people go. And he had 10 plagues lined up to, remember, he could have just wiped, he could have just went, and the whole army would have been, all of Egypt would have been wiped out except for his people. He could have done that. But he was giving them a chance to come around to his way of thinking. So it's not unprecedented. And remember also, we had back in the second trumpet judgment, there was a great thing, like a mountain, something that came out of the sky, fallen into the sea, it says, and the sea turned as blood, and a third of the fish, everything in the creatures died. Remember that one? That was in the trumpet judgments. That was only a third of the sea creatures died. Now we got two-thirds of the world left, and I believe that it's very clear this isn't a local thing, that everything in the sea, what would that be like? Everything in the sea dead, became as blood. Unbelievable. Could that really happen? It's horrific. Could it really happen? Yeah. See, God, he says what he means, and he means what he says. It's going to be a horrific time on the earth. Every living creature in the sea died. And then verse 4 says, then the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and the springs of water, and they became blood. And now it's everything, all the water. You know, water is a precious commodity. If you think about it, think that through. It's one of the most precious things we have on earth. And the ancients, you could not have a city or a town unless there was a well around where you could have water. That's what they looked for, the first thing they were checking out. Not the view, how close am I to the ocean. That was a secondary thought or whatever else, or, you know, they had to have water. And we take it for granted in a lot of ways because some of us have people that deliver water to our door, some of us, right? Or we pick it up when we go to the grocery store anytime we feel like it, unless there's some kind of an event that happens. That's one of the first things that happens, right? When Sandy came, you couldn't find any water because people buy it off the shelves. But the idea is it's a precious commodity. It's a precious commodity. And the things that the Lord God has done, we live in this, I don't know, ecosystem that he created, this earth. It's an amazing thing. I had this thought the other day, and it was actually one that delivered me. It was a delivering thought. And it was this. Does this ever happen to you? I drink bottled water. I was told when I first moved here, don't drink the water where you live. So I did, you know, so I don't. I won't even tell you where I live. But so we drink bottled water, and sometimes I don't finish my water, and I hate when I do that, okay? I hate it, but I leave it in the car, and then it's 95 degrees, and you come out, and you're like, ooh. And you're thinking, I can't drink that now. All those chemicals that are in that plastic are now in the water. If they weren't before, they are now, right? It even tastes like it when you drink it, kind of. I'm thinking, I can't drink that. I feel wasteful. I feel like I wasted money, and I feel like so I go through that. And then I have to do something. This is precious because I paid money for this. I got to pour this on something. You know, is there a plant nearby? Seriously, do you do that too? And you try to, something. I got to redeem it somehow, right? Almost like it's going to be gone now. But here's the reality about water. I was thinking about, this is my delivering point. I'm thinking, no, I'm going to dump it on the ground. It's going to go back into the ecosystem. You know, I was looking about a thing they called the space lab or whatever is flying around up there.
The space station.
And I was watching on the internet, and I saw something on there that was fascinating, yet a little bit perturbing to me. They have an ecosystem like they drink their urine. Now, but it gets filtered first. Think about it. They got this little closed system, and they only have so much water, right? It's their water gets recycled through it. Now they get great, I'm assuming they have great filtration systems, all right? I hope they do, But they were explaining, the person's explaining this. I'm like, oh, well, that just doesn't sound, it sets me the wrong way when I think about that. But in reality, folks, there's only so much water on the planet, and it gets recycled totally. Yeah, think it through. Now, it's God's system, so it's a good one, okay? And right when we get that water, doesn't it taste good? And you know what I mean? But all the filthy water and everything gets, God's got a filtration process. He uses the tides, the ocean coming in, he uses the rivers going down and the water seeping into the ground, all the gravel. That's not here just by happenstance. That's just not evolution. That's all planned out. It's all planned out. And by the way, the fact that we still have fresh water, that's pretty amazing. It's really amazing the way God does things. So water is precious, and he's built this great ecosystem. But he's going to destroy the ecosystem. And as a result, the people are going to be destroyed as well. How long can you live without water? Not very long. You can't. And so he's going to change the water into blood. All the water. Can you imagine? There's no fresh water. You try and go dig a well, and when you do, you strike blood everywhere you go. That's what it's going to be like. No fresh water. You know, one of the things that God did in the Bible, and he still does it today, is he gets people's attention by controlling the water, taking it away, changing it into blood. He gets people's attention. He's seeking to get their attention. He's not just trying to torture people. The hope that is that they would see that the things that maybe they took for granted were there and now they're gone, that they will see the one who's in control of this whole thing. And by the way, this is supernatural stuff. This isn't just a red tide. You know what a red tide is. We have those from time to time. I think it's created by plankton. They eat all the oxygen and fish die. So there's going to be the same kind of effects, and the water turns kind of red. But I don't believe that's what this is. We're talking about the wrath of God, people. We're talking about when he says it's blood, I believe it's going to be blood. It's going to be poured out. And it's going to turn into that. And by the way, in the midst of these horrific events that are going to happen on the earth, here's a reminder in verse 5 of things that are important. For those that are tempted to point the finger and look at God and say, why are you doing this? Like people always do, right? The angel says, and I heard the angel of the waters, John speaking, and I heard the angel of the waters saying, you are righteous, O Lord, the one who is and who was and who is to be. By the way, he's the only one who's always existed. He never had a beginning. Because you have judged these things, for they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink. For it is their just due. This is the thing about the Lord God. He's the only just judge. You won't find just judges perfectly just on the Supreme Court. And I would suggest you were seeing that more and more. But they're flawed because they're humans. They're human beings. So they're flawed. But God, everything he does is right. And not only that, the angel's pointing out, it's interesting, he says, they shed the blood of the saints and the prophets, that bloodshed. And we heard it says earlier on in Revelation that it says under the throne, the saints that were martyred said, how long, O Lord, how long before you would bring justice is what they were saying. And the answer is, now is the time. And he does it. And it's interesting to me, this idea that he uses blood to do this. He certainly could have used a lot of different things to do this that could have ruined the water supply. But he chose to use blood. And think about this, the whole time, the message of the cross is it's by the blood of Jesus that one would be saved. You know, the ignoring of the blood all the time, the blood of Christ that delivers a person from all sin, and that message that has gone out for centuries now, the blood of the cross, the blood. Even in the Old Testament, they were talked about blood that of the animals that looked forward to the blood of Christ and that cross, ignored. And they chose maybe what they saw to be at the time, the easy way out, the better way, taking the mark. But now, they were going to have to pay for that. And the angel is recognizing in verses 5 and 6 that everything that God does is righteous. He used blood because it's exactly what he needed to use for that particular situation. Verse 7 says, "And I heard another from the altar saying, 'Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments.' Then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and power was given to him to scorch men with fire." And so the fourth angel goes out, and now we've got the first bowl upon the earth, the second bowl in the sea, the third earth on the rivers and the springs. And now the fourth angel is going to pour out his bowl on the sun, and then power was given to him to scorch men with fire. So those that love, you know, going to the beach and taking in the sun, isn't it great that it stays just at the right distance where you don't get cooked? I mean, you know, you can get pretty cooked if you stay out there too long. But this, there was nowhere to hide. You know, it'd bake you right through the houses. It was right through, it was just so hot. It scorched men with fire. And men, verse 9 says, were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God, who has power over these plagues, and they did not repent and give him glory. And you would have thought that at that point in time, you see, they knew that it wasn't, oh, this is a terrible red tide. Or what's the other thing they have? Every year they have that. It starts maybe in California. Da, 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 da. No, it affects the weather. What's the thing? El Nino, thank you. Anybody know Spanish in here? El Nino, that's what I want to say. Thank you. You know, they have, you know what that is, right? El Nino. They have that. You know, so they could say, well, maybe it's a really bad El Nino, or maybe it's just a red tide. No, you see, here's the thing about this. When God judged it, they knew that this was something supernatural.
Well, that's all the time we have for today here on Anchored in the Word with Pastor Bill Beckelman of Calvary Chapel Coastlands. Don't forget to join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through the book of Revelation. If you've missed part of this message and would like to catch up, or you'd like to hear it again, this message is archived at our website at anchoredintheword.com. That's anchoredintheword.com. And if you'd like to continue studying with Pastor Bill as he teaches through the Bible at Calvary Chapel Coastlands, we have the entire library of his messages posted for listening and download. Go to our website at www.anchoredintheword.com and connect with Calvary Chapel Coastlands for our online messages. We would love to hear from you, so if you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, please contact us. Our phone number is 732-544-2225. That's 732-544-2225. If you prefer to write, our address is 178 Main Street, Eatontown, New Jersey, 07724. Or email us at office@cccoastlands.org. If you're in the Eatontown, New Jersey area and would like to visit us, we would love to meet you. Calvary Chapel Coastlands is located at 178 Main Street in Eatontown, New Jersey. Anchored in the Word is the radio ministry of Pastor Bill Beckelman of Calvary Chapel Coastlands. We hope you will join us again as we continue our study through the book of Revelation. It's our prayer that you would be moored in sound doctrine and anchored in the Word. Anchored deep in your